This is a tricky point in part because it is awkward to talk about one fact explaining another without real people actually doing the deductions. But I think that we have to talk this way because this is what science is about. The discovery of explanations built into the logical structure of nature. Of course, we become much more confident that we have the correct explanation when we are able actually to carry out some calculations and compare the results with observation, if not of the chemistry of protein, then at least of the chemistry of hydrogen. Even though the Greeks did not have our goal of a comprehensive and quantitative understanding of nature, precise quantitative reasoning was certainly not unknown in the ancient world. For millennia, people have known about the rules of arithmetic and plane geometry and the grand periodicities of the sun and moon and stars, including even such subtleties as the precision of the equinoxes. Beyond this, there was a flowering of mathematical science after Aristotle, during the Hellenistic era, that spans the time from the conquests of Aristotle's pupil Alexander to the subjugation of the Greek world by Rome. As an undergraduate studying philosophy, I felt some pain at hearing Hellenic philosophers like Thales or Democritus called physicists. But when we came to the great Hellenistics, to Archimedes in Syracuse, discovering the laws of buoyancy, or Eratosthenes in Alexandria measuring the circumference of the earth, I felt at home among my fellow scientists. Nothing like Hellenistic science was seen anywhere in the world until the rise of modern science in Europe in the 17th century. Yet for all their brilliance, the Hellenistic natural philosophers never came close to the idea of a body of law that would precisely regulate all nature. Indeed, the word law was rarely used in antiquity, and never by Aristotle, except in its original sense of human or divine laws governing human conduct. It is true that the word astronomy derives from the Greek words astron, for a star, and nomos, for law. But this term was less often used in antiquity for the science of the heavens than the word astrology. Not until Galileo, Kepler, and Descartes in the 17th century do we find the modern notions of laws of nature. The classicist Peter Green blames the limitations of Greek science in part on the persistent intellectual snobbery of the Greeks, with their preference for the static over the dynamic, and for contemplation over technology, except for military technology. The first three kings of Hellenistic Alexandria supported research on the flight of projectiles because of its military applications, but to the Greeks, it would have seemed inappropriate to apply precise reasoning to something as banal as the process by which a ball rolls down an inclined plane, the problem that illuminated the laws of motion for Galileo. Modern science has its own snobberies. Biologists pay more attention to genes than to bunions,